This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Discuss last night's Thursday night football game. As you maybe watched, the best team in the NFL was in it, and the team you're going to have to go through to try to go to the first Super Bowl for the Chiefs since Super Bowl IV. We'll also get into some of the individual matchups in this game, and this has the feel of a Travis Kelce game. We'll get into that coming up in just a minute. But today's pop quiz was Anchorman. BK, why'd you pick it?
Yeah, today was actually the premiere of Saturday Night Live back in 1975.
No, you don't say.
Are you a big Saturday Night Live person?
I was back in the day, like Coneheads and Pat and all that stuff. I haven't watched a lot the last couple of years.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we will get into last night's Thursday Night Football game and how the New England Patriots looked. But we talk a lot about Patrick Mahomes, and it's understandable he is the MVP of the NFL. But one person that needs to be better than he was last week is Andy Reid. We think that maybe the biggest advantage that the Chiefs have in this game is the coaching matchup. At quarterback, I think the Chiefs have the better quarterback, but I don't think the gap between Mahomes and Deshaun Watson is as tremendous as the gap that exists between Andy Reid and Bill O'Brien. This, to me, is one of the games where it can't just be a Pat go be special kind of game. Andy has to prove that he is the superior coach in this and has to do things to take a little bit of pressure off their MVP quarterback. Quite simply put, their running game has to improve. So the Chiefs ran for 107 yards in week one. Since then, the Chiefs have ran the ball with their running backs 70 times. They have gained 250 yards on those carries, and that's good for 3.6 yards per carry. And last week, they didn't even try to run the football. Hobble quarterback, and they didn't even try to run the football or try to establish it. This is one of those games that Andy needs to find a way to alleviate some of the pressure from Mahomes. You got a scheme, and you have to put your MVP quarterback in situations in which he can be successful.
Has to, and we'll check the boxes coming up a little later on in the show, but where do the Chiefs, outside of Andy Reid, have another major advantage in this game? I think that Pat's better than Deshaun, but it's relatively close. At wide receiver, if Tyreek Hill doesn't play, Houston's got much better pass catchers than the Chiefs have, at least this Sunday. I mean, you want to talk about running the football? Carlos Hyde isn't great, but either are any of the Chiefs' options to run the football. And then, of course, on the defensive side, they've got a guy named J.J. Watt, and a guy named Chris Jones isn't going to play. So you nailed that one, man. Andy Reid has to be at his best coming up on Sunday because he's the biggest and the only clear advantage the Chiefs have.
Ian, I would just say twofold, that, and maybe isn't necessarily just turning around and traditionally running the football. You got to utilize the screen game a little bit better and the quick passing game to try to get the ball out of Mahomes' hands really quickly. I mean, Houston has two legitimate pass rushers in J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. Can you alleviate some of the pressure and maybe when they blitz and they show their aggressiveness, can you turn it against them with a little dump off to Damian Williams to get him going? Can you do something with LeSean McCoy? They ran that one screen play. They got 20-something yards. McCoy fumbled, and they never went down to it again. This is I'll be very curious to see how the first 15 plays for the Chiefs are drawn up, how creative they are. Are they doing some end arounds for Mecole Hardman? How do they get Tyreek Hill involved in this if he's going to play? What kind of things is Andy Reid going to do to scheme to try to create opportunities where they have mismatches?
Got
to
do something because I'm all out on Damian Williams, and I get it. Like, he was the feature back heading into this team, and he saved the team last year when Kareem Hunt got shown the door. But what's he done with the opportunity this year? And LeSean McCoy's been nicked up since day one, and he's been a very pleasant surprise. But Damian Williams is averaging 1.9 yards per carry, and it's not for lack of opportunities. So I have to admit, I don't expect much from the rushing game. Not necessarily on Sunday, and as the season rolls along, unless they make a move or the offensive line gets healthy or something drastic happens, they give my guy Darwin Thompson a chance. I just don't think this team's going to be able to run the football.
I mean, we say it's a Damian Williams thing. I mean, it's a team. I mean, if you have 70 carries since week one and you've only got 250 yards and under 4 yards a carry.
Shady's been good.
I mean, he didn't get a carry in the last game.
So you're zero for zero.
Yeah, so obviously either they didn't trust him to run the football. I'm with you. I don't care who runs the football effectively at this point. You could sign on to the practice squad and help this team. They need to have some semblance of balance here. So whether it's LeSean McCoy, whether it's Darryl Williams, whether it's Darwin Thompson, whoever it is, this team needs to find a way to be more balanced and run the football effectively.
Here's the thing. They don't have a feature running back. They have a best running back, and that's LeSean McCoy, who's averaging around 5 yards a carry. Hell, I think he might be Brett Veach's best offseason addition if I really think about it. But he's not a typical feature running back that's going to tote the ball 15, 20, 25 times a game. If that happens, LeSean McCoy's going to get hurt, and then he's done for the season. Then you're even more screwed than you are right now.
But they don't need a guy who can run the ball 25 times.
If Damian Williams is rushing for 1.9 yards per carry, they need somebody.
They need a semblance of balance. Last week, they had absolutely no balance. When they needed tough yards, when it was third and two, when it was fourth and one on that critical play, they were unable to get that.
Weren't even trying. 14 rushes for 36 yards. They weren't even trying.
I'm not saying in this game that you need Damian Williams to run for 100 yards or LeSean McCoy to run for 100 yards. But a nice 15 carries for a 60-yard day would certainly be appreciated, where you can move the chains a little bit on short, intermediate downs. You can run the football. That's what they need more than anything. They just need some semblance of balance. They had absolutely none of that on Sunday against the Colts.
It doesn't matter at some point how good your passing game is if you can't run the football at all. Like we talked about last year, the offense was so good that if the defense is just average, this team's going to win a lot of games. That's where we've gotten with the running game. They don't have to be great, right? They just have to be okay. They just have to go out there and be average and give the other team some sort of a threat, which, quite frankly, they haven't done since the first week of the season.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll get into the Sunday night football game between the Chiefs and the Thursday night football game between the Patriots and the Giants. Here's the latest on Tyreek Hill from Ian Rappaport.
Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs star receiver, who now suddenly is someone they really need after a dismal performance last week, he is getting very close to being back. He has practiced this week in a limited fashion, trying to return from a sternoclavicle injury. From what I understand, there is optimism that he is back on the field and is out there this week. But similar to the Sam Darnold situation, feelings are one thing, but tests and scans are another thing. They're going to scan the bone, make sure it is healed properly, make sure it's safe for him to be out there. It's going to happen today. If all goes well, he should be out on the field this weekend.
I've said it before. I think the Chiefs have three unstoppable players on the team, and they are potentially getting one of those guys back in this game. I think how teams approach the Kansas City Chiefs defensively, things they can take away, looks, certain kind of defensive fronts, you just have to show Tyreek Hill a different level of respect. I think what we've seen the last 2 weeks is, I think, a lack of respect for the Chiefs offense. I think the way that teams are defending the Kansas City Chiefs, they're defending them like they're not afraid of them. We know you're not going to run the football effectively against us. We know that your guys can't beat man coverage. For a team to come out and man cover you in 2019, 75% of the time is a blatant disrespect. It's we don't think that DeMarcus Robinson can beat us on the outside. We don't think Mecole Hardman can beat us. We're cool with Byron Pringle being one-on-one on the outside, and we'll divert a lot of attention over to Travis Kelce. All that ends with Tyreek Hill. There's no way that you are playing man coverage, because if that's your strategy, if that's what Houston wants to come out here and do with that secondary, and they want to come out here and they want to play man coverage 75% of the time, Tyreek Hill is going to have two long catches, and one of them is going to go for a touchdown. It is impossible to defend the Chiefs the way we saw the Colts do it and the way the Lions did it, if Tyreek Hill is going to be in that. That's the bigger plus that they can have. I know Eric Fisher shores up the offensive line. I know that Chris Jones is a very important member of this team. How teams defend this team is so radically different if Tyreek is in the lineup or not in it.
And Ron was talking about this on his show earlier today. It's also an energy infusion, because the Chiefs are a really fun football team to watch because they light up the scoreboard, and frankly, because you don't know how bad their defense is going to be. That wasn't the case last Sunday against Indy. That was really flat. You were in the house. People were leaving Arrowhead early. This team right now, coming off of their first loss, especially the way they lost, need a bit of an energy infusion, and there's no better guy to do that than Tyreek Hill.
I would say what's been missing from the offense, honestly, the most over the last couple of weeks are explosive plays. I mean, the only explosive play that they had on Sunday against the Colts was a pure Mahomes creation. It was not schemed. It simply was, I'm going to make a play that only two other human beings in the world can make. The throw he made on the touchdown.
Oh, play, I remember.
And their only touchdown. That's it. Like, the only other player that I think can do that consistently on this team is Tyreek Hill. Like, some players just beat schemes. Some players can just beat defensive coverage. That's what kind of player that Travis Kelce is. And that's the kind of player that Tyreek Hill is. That's not what Mecole Hardman is at this point. Maybe he will be that in a couple years. But again, if teams are playing 74% man against you and 75% man, and they're playing press coverage, they don't think you can consistently beat them.
You just made a light bulb go off my head there momentarily. Was that highlight the only one that hasn't come in a victory? The left-handed pass, the no-look pass, the pass to Chris Conley against San Francisco, the rolling out and hitting Tyreek Hill against Baltimore, because that might be at the top of his highlight package, and we haven't really even talked about it.
I mean, I'm sure that there's probably been another play, just all the other ones. The reason that we remember those plays and they're so memorable is because they won the football game. Like, the Chris Conley touchdown pass is a whole lot less memorable if they lost that game in the same way that they lost on Sunday to the Indianapolis Colts. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk about Thursday night football and how the Patriots defense looked against the New York Giants. But first, Sunday has the feel of a Travis Kelce game. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we will get into last night's Thursday night football game against the best team in the NFL in the New England Patriots. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. So yesterday we had on John McClain. If you missed it, check out the podcast page. A very entertaining interview with John McClain, who's been covering football in Houston for 40 years. Here's what John McClain had to say about Travis Kelce going up against the Houston Texans.
Last year, they couldn't stop tight ends. Gronkowski and Ertz killed them. And Sean Gibson at Jacksonville did a great job against Gronkowski and Ertz. So one of the reasons they signed him is to handle good tight ends, and Kelce is the best. And the only time the Texans ever did a good job on Kelce was when they put cornerback A.J. Boye on him one year. And then they let Boye get away to Jacksonville. So watching Gibson and whatever else they do, you know, personally, I would have two people covering Kelce, and he'll let anybody but them beat you.
Now, I get a lot of things wrong in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel very confident saying this. If one of your team weaknesses is that you don't cover the tight end very well, you are going to have a very difficult job beating the Kansas City Chiefs. They have arguably the best tight end in the NFL and maybe one of the biggest offensive mismatches in the NFL. If that's one of your defensive weaknesses, you are going to be in for a long afternoon against the Chiefs.
And the only thing that Travis Kelce's not doing to the rate that I thought that he was going to is get in the end zone. Through the first five games, he only has one touchdown, and I'm the idiot that came on before the season and said he's going to have 15 touchdowns and lead the league. Yeah, I was a little bit off there. But he's been wildly inconsistent, which is what he's been the last few years. 70 receiving yards against the Colts, 85 the week before, 89 the week before that, 107, and then 88. So he's done his Travis Kelce thing every week. This CDOT feels like the week that he goes off, and he has a couple of touchdowns, and he has a buck 50, because you're right. They can't guard the tight end, and this is a damn good tight end.
Especially if Tyreek Hill is going to be healthy. I think it's tough to kind of have that game if Tyreek Hill isn't on the
for
field
sure,
because he's going to get so much attention, and then he becomes their only legitimate passing option. So I think teams just defend the Chiefs a little bit differently. Tyreek Hill has played three games against the Texans in his career. In those three games, 19 catches, 238 yards, and two touchdowns. And you just heard from John McClain. The only time that they defended him very well, they put one of the top 15 corners in A.J. Boye on him, and now he plays for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They don't have a player that really matches up well against Travis Kelce, and he creates such a mismatch problem for him. If you want to talk about making the game a little easier for Patrick Mahomes, if you can find a way to get Kelce and Mahomes into a rhythm where he's eating in the middle of the field and he's taking advantage of smaller corners or slower linebackers, again, it's going to be a long day for Houston if you can't cover the Chiefs' tight end position.
And Kelce was constantly tied in his entire double teamed his entire career until the Chiefs added a bunch of weapons around him. And then once you've got Tyreek Hill on one side and Sammy Watkins on the other, and a running game that they had last year, at least for part of the season, with Kareem Hunt, all of a sudden you can't double team Travis Kelce, and it makes it a lot easier. This year, That dude's had two guys on him every single time he's ran a route, because why wouldn't you? I mean, you're not going to double-team DeMarcus Robinson or probably Sammy Watkins or Mecole Hardman or Byron Pringle. When Tyreek Hill is off the field, the Chiefs are a completely different threat than when he's on the field.
And, I mean, if you talk about Kelce, even though maybe he hasn't had that monster day, he's been so consistent. So since Tyreek Hill's been out, so if we're not including the Jacksonville game because he technically played it, we're talking about the four games that he's officially been out for. Travis Kelce is 11th in the NFL in catches and 5th in the NFL in yards. So even with that extra attention, even with the Lions openly double-teaming Travis Kelce, he still found a way to be incredibly effective. So add that now with having Tyreek Hill, he takes that over-the-top threat, and you can't defend Travis Kelce the exact same way. That's when I think you open yourself up to the big day you're talking about.
So I know I talk a lot of smack on Frank Clark, but this is what I'm talking about. Like, the best players in the NFL get double-teamed. If you're Khalil Mack, you're never single-teamed, right? If you're Aaron Donald, you're constantly double-teamed and chipped. If you're Travis Kelce, and I get it, it's the other side of the ball, you've always got two guys on you. That's the name of the game in 2019. If you're one of the better players, you're going to have multiple guys trying to stop you. So Frank Clark, I don't want to hear any more excuses about being chipped or double-teamed or any of that stuff. That's what's going to happen because of the money that you get paid, because you've averaged 10 sacks per season. And, buddy, if you thought that it's been bad, you've had a lot of focus on you up until this week, what happens coming up on Sunday versus the Texans when Chris Jones is not on the field?
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get into Thursday night football between the New England Patriots and the New York Giants, and the Patriots continue to look like the best team in the NFL, but maybe are more vulnerable than people want to admit. One thing that I'm going to be looking for in this game, and is probably the key to this game defensively, and I think goes to BK's point and your point about why you think this is going to be a shootout, can the Chiefs take away something of value from the Houston Texans? So offensively, we've seen that teams can run the ball effectively against the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw Kerryon Johnson do it a couple weeks ago. We saw Marlon Mack do it. We saw Mark Ingram do it. We saw Josh Jacobs do it for the most part.
They've all done it.
In the passing game, Deshaun Watson, you guys think he's an elite top five quarterback in the NFL. He's got arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL. Will Fuller is a top 10, 15, 20 deep threat in the game. Can the Chiefs take away one thing that the Texans really want to do? Against the Lions, they couldn't take away anything that they wanted to do. Kerryon Johnson had a good day. Stafford had a good day. If it wasn't for turnovers and a couple of plays to get overturned, Chiefs probably lose that football game. Defensively coming into it, can they scheme to take something away? If Carlos Hyde's going to run for 120 yards and Deshaun's going to get his typical 300 yards, it's just going to be difficult to win this game, or you're going to need your offense to carry this game. I'm still holding the defense to the same metric. Can you keep the Texans under 30? Can you get off the field on third down? And can you still hold up in the red zone? If you do that, you should win. But one thing I want to see from Steve Spagnuolo again is, can you take something away that Houston wants to do offensively?
No. That's my answer to the question. No. I don't think the Chiefs. That's why I kept telling you it's going to be a shootout. The Chiefs are going to have to put up 35 or 40 to win this football game. What part, C-Dot, do you think they're going to contain? They're facing the best quarterback they've seen all season with a bull in Deshaun Watson. They're facing the best wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. They're facing the best number two wide receiver in Will Fuller. They're facing the best defensive player in J.J. Watt. I know Carlos Hyde isn't great, but every running back's great against this team. Who are they going to stop?
I mean, I think they're going to stop Carlos Hyde here. I understand that the run defense has been porous at best.
So what makes you
think good?
What makes you think they're going to? I get it.
I don't think Carlos Hyde's very good.
He's not. Either is Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, I don't think Kerryon Johnson's better than Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde has not rushed for over 100 yards in his last 33 starts. I was down on Kerryon Johnson. He's at least done it in his last 33 starts. Carlos Hyde has played for four different teams in the last 12 months. I understand the Chiefs' run defense is not good. Carlos Hyde is bad. Though maybe he has a good day. Maybe he has 15 carries for 80 yards in this, which was still a pretty good day. If I had to bet right now the over or the under on 99.5 yards, I would take the under because Carlos Hyde has not done that in the last two full seasons.
C-Dot, Kerryon Johnson became the third Lions running back in 100 games. In 100 games. What's that, 8 seasons to rush for 100 yards? No, Carlos Hyde isn't very good. Either is the Chiefs' run D. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes for a C-note against them.
I mean, if you think that the Chiefs are going to score points in this, then I would say you're betting then that Carlos Hyde isn't going to get that level of volume. Like, the reason that Kerryon Johnson got over 100 yards is they gave him the ball 26 times.
Well, Matthew Stafford threw three touchdowns, too. They were very well-balanced.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason that Marlon Mack had such a good day is they gave him the ball 28 times. If this is going to be the 41-38 game, Carlos Hyde ain't getting the ball 25 times in this one. that means Watson's probably throwing it 35, 40 times, and that means DeAndre Hopkins has 125 yards on you. Again, I'm just saying, I'm the only one that thinks this. If I had to pick right now the over or the under on Carlos Hyde 100 yards, I would take the under. I don't think they hold him to 2 yards a carry. I also don't think he has 100 yards against the Chiefs.
Can you believe we're having this conversation? Carlos Hyde, who the Chiefs gave $800,000 to this offseason and then let him walk and then signed Shady McCoy, and we all went, oh, great, no more Carlos Hyde. And here we are, week six, and we're having the conversation. Is Carlos frickin' Hyde going to come to Arrowhead and rush for 100 yards?
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Just keep it locked in. Coming up, we'll also talk about the New England Patriots. And last night on Thursday Night Football, even though they're the best team in the NFL, I think they're a lot more vulnerable than people want to give them credit. We'll discuss it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will check the boxes on Sunday's matchup between the Chiefs and the Texans. But first, it is your chance to win 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word culture, C-U-L-T-U-R-E, culture, 272881. That's culture. If you want $1,000 in our national cash contest, all you gotta do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Just listen in on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but go ahead and win right now. One more time for those of you in the back that are keeping score. Culture, C-U-L-T-U-R-E, culture, 272881. The national cash contest code word 4330 is culture. That is also the name of Cardi B and Offset's child. Culture is
that right?
That is the name of them. I want to get into this really quickly, and we can get into the New England Patriots. Text line 69306. Hyde's going to ball out, C-Dot. He will rush for 120 and two touchdowns.
And nobody thinks he's good, for the record. Everybody's saying that because they think the Chiefs' run defense is terrible.
BK, I want you in on this. So let me ask this question first. Two-part question. Do you think Carlos Hyde's running for 100 yards?
Yeah, he probably will.
BK, do you think he's running for 100 yards?
No, because I think they'll spell him with Duke Johnson.
Okay. So if Carlos Hyde runs for 100 yards in this game, which is very possible, I don't know if you can pick another team in which you won't have that same opinion going forward. These are the running backs they play before the bye week. Phillip Lindsay, Aaron Jones for the Packers, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, and then Gordon and Eckler on the Monday Night Football game against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Dalvin Cook might rush for 600 yards against his team.
I mean, if you're picking Carlos Hyde and the Houston Texans to run for 100 yards against you, we got to just pencil in 100 yards every single game moving forward because they just play better running backs over the next 5 weeks than they play in this game. I'm not high on the Chiefs' run defense. I don't know how anybody can be high on their run defense, but come on now. I'm willing to give Steve Spagnuolo a little bit of credit that they can scheme to find a way to slow down Carlos Hyde in this match.
Why? Why? Why should he have afforded that luxury? Like, if this was the first game of the season that I'd give him that, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth, here we are in week six, and the Chiefs haven't stopped any running backs except for week one. Somehow, they contain Leonard Fournette. What makes you think that on Sunday, whether it was Carlos Hyde or Brandon Kiley, the Chiefs are going to be able to stop him?
I just don't think Carlos Hyde is good.
He's not.
I don't think their offensive line is that good. I just don't think he's running for 100 yards. Maybe this is a hot take. I don't really know what classifies as a hot take anymore. I think the Patriots are the best team in the NFL. The record, the track record, I think the Patriots are the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the least hot take you've ever gave.
They haven't really been that impressive, though. Like, I know they're 6-0, and I know they've been blowing these teams out. That was a close game in the fourth quarter against the New York Giants. They were playing a close game in the first half against the Washington Redskins. Alabama has a harder schedule than the New England Patriots so far. How many teams in the NFL, honestly, would be undefeated with the Patriots schedule so far? Based on what we've seen so far this season, their first six games, how many of these teams do you think would be undefeated? 7, 8, 9 teams in the NFL? This is what they played so far this season. Pittsburgh, at Miami, home against the Jets, at Buffalo, at Washington, home against the Giants on Thursday Night Football. How many teams would be undefeated with that schedule?
Is my math right? I think that's 3 combined wins of those teams in the first 6 weeks of the season.
And it gets worse next week. They play the Jets.
Holy crap. Then they got Cleveland.
Yeah, then they play Cleveland. I'm asking honestly. Again, I think the Patriots are the best team in the NFL. They should hold that right until either they lose or they lose in the playoffs. How many teams in the NFL would be undefeated if they had the Patriots? Oakland might be undefeated if they had this schedule. This schedule's embarrassing.
I don't know about that. You might be getting a little bit too excited. I think that a lot of teams would be, maybe 5, 6, 7 teams. I mean, this is a really easy schedule, but it's the way they've done it. Kind of like last week's loss versus Indy. It's not the fact the Chiefs lost. It's the way they lost. The fact that they only put up 13 points. Nobody thought that was possible. New England, they beat the hell out of all these teams. 33-3 against Pittsburgh, 43-0 against Miami, 30-14 against the Jets. The only close game they played was Buffalo, 16-10, and the Chiefs played a close game that week, too. Their other two wins, 33-7, and last night, 35-14. So
last night was not a 35-14 game, though. The defense scored once. The special team scored once. The offense looked terrible last night. Like, it looked abysmal. It looked the way that the Chiefs' defense has looked at times this year, where it was like, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish here. The offense was a problem for the Patriots last night, and that was going against one of the worst defenses in all of football so far this year.
So I want to read this from you. This is from Ben Volin of the Boston Globe. He's basically Sam Melliger. Quote, disregard the final score. The Patriots' offense is just not good enough to win the AFC right now. The upcoming mini-bye will help the Patriots with their injuries, but they are thin at wide receiver, tight end, and badly need to trade for one before the deadline. Does anyone think the Patriots' offense is currently constructed can keep up with the Chiefs or the Texans? I sure don't, and Brady might not either. After the game, I asked Brady for his assessment of the offense and whether he and his teammates are good enough right now. Brady paused for several seconds and shrugged his shoulders several times. I know what the scores are saying, but if you watch these games, the Patriots are getting by based on schedule and how dominant their defense is against bad quarterbacks. Think of the last 5 weeks who they've played at quarterback. They've played Daniel Jones, who was making his, fourth career start on the road. They played against Case Keenum, Dwayne Haskins. I don't even know who the quarterback, Colt McCoy, whoever the quarterback for the Washington. They fire their coach after the game, tells you how it's going. Josh Allen, and he got hurt, so Matt Barkley came into the game. Luke Falk and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I see why their defense has been so dominant. Clemson has played a tougher schedule. LSU's played a tougher schedule than New England. Florida's played a Missouri's played a tougher schedule so far than we've seen for the New England Patriots. This is embarrassing.
Yeah, but Missouri lost one of those games to Wyoming. That's the difference, is the Patriots are still unbeaten. So you can play bad teams. You got to beat those bad teams. So if the Missouri hasn't done
honest
so
question,
far this
how
year.
Many teams in the NFL will be undefeated with New England schedule?
Five I think six. 10.
Maybe. 5 or 6?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy.
The Cowboys are undefeated with the schedule.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
I don't think so.
Who are they losing to on the schedule? Steelers, Dolphins, Jets, Bills, Redskins, Giants. Who are the Cowboys losing to?
I don't know. Probably two of those teams. Cowboys aren't that good.
Neither are any of those teams on that
These
schedule.
These teams stink.
Absolutely stink.
It's difficult to run together 5, 6, 7 games in the NFL no matter who you're playing. I understand what you're saying on paper every single game. It's the same reason why.
Sean, I think you can make a case that five of the worst teams, like the five worst teams in the NFL, is who they've played so far this year. And then you can add in the Bills. Like, that's it. Basically, the question is, how many teams do you think in the NFL are better than the Bills? Those teams would go undefeated with this schedule so far. I'm being 100% serious.
All right. The same reason why people get knocked out CDOT early in Survivor Pool. Like, on paper, it's easy to pick these games. It's not so easy once you're actually playing them on the field.
Okay, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I look at the Patriots' schedule. Their offense is clearly leaking oil, and the schedule is certainly propping this team up.
And nobody slipped up against these teams. Like, we're talking about the Redskins and the Giants and the Jets and the Dolphins. Nobody has slipped up against any of those teams.
I mean, right now, the only question I think that exists with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have their own issues to deal with, the only question that exists with the Kansas City Chiefs is, when it comes time, is their offense going to be better than the Patriots' defense? Because those appear to be the two elite units in the AFC. I'm not saying those are the only elite units in the NFL, but in the AFC, the Chiefs' offense and the Patriots' defense are the two elite units. How do you match up against that? Because that Patriots' defense is loaded. They can get to the quarterback. They can stop the run. They've got great corners on the outside, and they have the best defensive mind in the history of the NFL scheming against it. Their defense is legit, just like I believe in the Chiefs' offense. But the problems that the Patriots have offensively are very similar problems to the ones that the Chiefs have defensively. Just one has Brady on their side and the other one doesn't.
So at full strength, which is something the Chiefs haven't been this entire year, Tyreek Hill went down 5 minutes in the first game. At full strength, whenever that is, you taking the Chiefs offense or the Patriots defense?
I mean, I would take the Patriots defense just because Bill Belichick is on that side of the football.
Yeah, I think I'm still taking the Chiefs offense because Patrick Mahomes on that side of the football.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty even, honestly. Like, I think the Chiefs, when they're healthy, have it. And I mean, the Patriots, I mean, especially with the schedule that they have, I mean, the Patriots by the end of the season, the numbers might suggest they're one of the 10 best defenses in the history of the NFL. Now, it's going to be propped up by the schedule, but the numbers at the they've allowed three offensive touchdowns through the first six games of the NFL season. Like, their defense at the end of the year has a chance to be top 10, top 12, maybe in the history of the NFL. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll play for you what Shannon Sharp had to say about this game. And he said that there's only one playmaker on the Chiefs defense, and it is not Frank Clark. So we'll play that for you coming up in a little bit. But BK, let's check the boxes, my man.
Offense, defense, special teams. Where do the Chiefs have the edge? Let's check the boxes on The Drive.
Let's start with the Texans run offense against the Chiefs run defense. Now, the Chiefs run defense, you know, they're not very good. Running backs have rushed for 668 yards on 5.3 yards per carry against Kansas City. That ain't great. How are the Texans? They're 10th in the NFL in rushing this year. They are averaging 5.1 yards per carry on the season. They've been pretty solid, even though their running backs are not great in Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. Sean, who are you giving the check mark to in the Texans' run offense against the Chiefs' run defense?
So, BK, they're averaging 5.1 yards per carry as a team. The Chiefs are giving up over 5.1 yards per carry on the season. And you're asking me who's going to win out, the running game for the Texans or the Chiefs' defense? Well, Carlos Hyde, not a great running back, but he's averaging 4.2 yards per carry. The Chiefs would absolutely take that. Duke Johnson, averaging 6.4 yards per carry. Oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson can run the football pretty good himself. I'm obviously checking the box for the Texans running game.
I mean, I would pick the Texans. I would pick the running game of the other team over the Chiefs run defense in just about every single scenario. That's not really the issue in this. It's, can you stop them from dominating the game with their running attack? Last week in the game against the Indianapolis Colts, that's what happened. The Chiefs run defense up against the Colts running attack, that was a clear mismatch, and the Colts were able to control the line of scrimmage and dominate time of possession and really control the tempo and pace of the football game with their running attack. Does the Chiefs run defense allow that? I'm cool with them getting yards, but can you get off the field and can you not allow them to dictate the style of the fight? That's what I think is the bigger question. But if we're just asking what unit is better, you would take just about every run offense against the Chiefs run defense. But it's about pacing. It's about timing. It's about time of possession. And can you get off the field and get stops consistently?
Let's go to the other side of the ball. The Chiefs rushing attack against the Texans run defense. The Chiefs right now 25th in the NFL in rushing. Chiefs running backs ran for 107 yards in the first week of the season. Since then, they have gained just 250 yards on 70 carries. That's 3.6 yards per carry. That ain't good. Football Outsiders, meanwhile, has the Texans rated as the sixth best run defense in the league. Sean, who are you going with here? Running attack from the Chiefs or the Texans run defense?
Well, is my guy Darwin Thompson going to get a shot?
I doubt it.
Well, then the Chiefs running game's not going to do very well because LeSean McCoy's been nicked up all season, and he's been great. Like, he's been maybe Brett Veach's best offseason move, and the biggest surprise for me compared to what I thought he was going to be, LeSean McCoy is averaging 5.3 yards per carry, and he has a couple of touchdowns. The problem is he can't tote the ball 15, 20, 25 times. If he does, he's going to disintegrate into pieces. So who's going to carry the ball successfully? Not Damien Williams. I am done with the Damien Williams experiment. That dude, 31 carries, 57 yards for an average of 1.8 yards per carry and one more touchdown than the three of us in this room combined. So I don't think the Chiefs are going to run the football because they haven't been able to run the football for the last month. I'm going to take the Texans run D.
I'm going to take the Texans run D, but a similar logic that I employed in the Chiefs run defense against the Texans run offense. I think the Texans run defense is better, but I don't think that the Chiefs rushing attack needs to be great in this game. If they can get something similar to what they got in the game against the Lions, I think that's fine. McCoy had 80 yards. They were a little bit balanced. The screen game was working. They were doing some of those things that allowed them to take some of the pressure off Patrick Mahomes. Can they do that? In the game against the Colts, they never tried to establish the line of scrimmage. They never tried to run the ball effectively, and that was a theme throughout the course of the day. Is that the same issue that exists? The Chiefs' offensive line was simply overmatched in the game against the Colts. Is that the case in this one? If that's the case, then you can neutralize how great the Texans' run defense is. No one's asking you to run for 7 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry. Whenever you make the decision to run, if you run the ball 15, 17 times, can you get 75, 80 yards so you can remain some kind of balance and then open up the play-action passes and some of the things you can do offensively? That's what I think matters more than anything.
We got two left here. Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, and the Texans' passing offense going up against the Chiefs' secondary. Chiefs are quietly middle of the pack this year against the pass this season, but they haven't seen a passing offense quite like this. Watson, second best quarterback rating in the NFL, actually ahead right now of Patrick Mahomes. Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins both rank in the top 25 in the NFL in receiving yards this season, and Hopkins hasn't even had his blow-up game yet. Sean, who are you taking in this one? Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller, and the Texans of passing offense, or Chiefs secondary?
I can't believe I'm going to do it, BK, but I think I got to put another check in the box of the Texans. Will Fuller has 400 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns, and he's averaging almost 15 yards a catch. As you mentioned, DeAndre Hopkins, who might be the best receiver in football, hasn't had his huge game just yet. He already has 347 receiving yards this season, and we don't know what's up with Tyreek Hill. I think in Tyreek's absence, the Chiefs wide receivers have actually done a really good job, but they've been inconsistent. DeMarcus Robinson had his moment in the sun, so did McCole Hardman, so did Sammy Watkins, so did Byron Pringle. But every single Sunday, you don't know who it's going to be, so... Again, I think it's going to be the Texans' passing attack over the Chiefs' secondary.
I know what the raw numbers say for Will Fuller, but if you take a deeper look, he has basically been Sammy Watkins. He had one game where he had 14 catches for 217 yards and 3 touchdowns. In the other 4 games this season, he had 14 catches for 183 yards and 0 touchdowns in the game. This is the thing for the Chiefs' defense.
That's not basically. That is Sammy Watkins.
So there's 3 players that maybe you're worried about offensively. It's Carlos Hyde in the rushing attack, it's DeAndre Hopkins, and it's Will Fuller. If all 3 of them have a good day, the Chiefs probably lose this game pretty handily. If they can stop at least one of them, it's probably a close game that you can win. If you can stop 2 out of those 3, I think it's a game that you comfortably win. So if you can limit Will Fuller to 45 yards and you hold Carlos Hyde to 47 yards carrying or something, a low number in this, then I think you got a chance to comfortably beat the Houston Texans. So that's what I'll go with.
Last one here as we check the boxes on the drive. Mahomes and the Chiefs passing offense going up against the Texans secondary. Opposing tight ends, we talked about this earlier today. They've actually really struggled against the Texans so far this year. Just 150 yards on the season against the Texans. Most of the damage has actually been done by wide receivers against the Texans. The Chiefs likely going to be without Sammy Watkins in this one, but it sounds like Tyreek Hill might be able to return from injury. Sean, when you look at the Chiefs passing offense going up against the Texans secondary, who you got in this one? Where are you checking the box?
Yeah, with or without Tyreek Hill, BK, I'm going to take the Chiefs. Now, with Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs have the best passing attack in all of football, not just on the field Sunday, but in the entire league. Without Tyreek Hill this Sunday, I still think that their passing attack is better than that Texans secondary. Feels like a big Travis Kelce game to me. He's been good, but not great this year. He's been wildly consistent. He has at least 70 receiving yards in every game, but only has 1 touchdown. This CDOT feels to me like a 150 and 2 touchdowns for Travis Kelce.
I'm going to take the Chiefs passing attack. I think this is probably where they have the biggest advantage going up against that Texans secondary. I'm with you when it comes to Travis Kelce. I think he's a very difficult matchup for the NFL, but in particularly the Houston Texans. I do expect Tyreek Hill to play, so I think how you defend the Chiefs is a little bit different. I'll give the Chiefs the nod in this area. I think that their passing attack is going to have a good day against the Houston Texans. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll play Pick a Player. So if you want to play, keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. I want to play this for you. This is Shannon Sharp. He says the Chiefs defense only has 1 playmaker.
They got 1 playmaker on that side of the ball, the defense side of football, and that's Honey Badger. Mm. If he doesn't make a play doesn't get made.
So that was Shannon Sharp today on Undisputed. I'm not talking about the contract for Frank Clark. I'm not talking about what he accomplished in Seattle. I'm not talking about what happened the first 5 games of the NFL season. I'm talking about the matchup on Sunday against the Houston Texans. They desperately need good Frank Clark. So whether it's moving him around, whether it's stunts, whether it's creating pressure from other sides of the field, there's probably only 2 guys on this team that can get to the quarterback. It's Tyrann Mathieu coming off the edge and some blitzes, or it's Frank Clark getting to the quarterback. Or it could be Frank Clark commanding some double teams and opening up opportunities for guys like Emmanuel Ogba, but they need some kind of pass rush going up against this team. If they're going to do what I'm saying, and they got to find a way to stop one of the 3 options between Hyde, DeAndre Hopkins, and Will Fuller, then they need good Frank Clark to do it. I've given Frank Clark a lot of passes, and I've been very patient with Frank Clark. But it should be unacceptable, and it should piss Frank Clark off for Shannon Sharp to say they only have 1 playmaker on the defense, and if he doesn't make a play, he gets made. Frank Clark should be thinking to himself, I'm a playmaker. I got to go out here and I got to start making plays that impact the football game. Whenever it's that critical 3rd down, I have to be the one to make the tackle to get off the field. Can you do it in this game, especially in a matchup as favorable as the one against the Houston Texans? The Texans are one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL at protecting their quarterback. I'll play it again. If you're Frank Clark, you should be pissed. If I'm Andy Reid, if I'm Steve Spagnuolo, I'm bringing you into the office, and I want to play for you on a loop what they're talking about when it comes to this defense and what they're saying about you in particular.
They got one playmaker on that side of the ball, the defensive side of football, and that's Honey Badger. Mm. If he doesn't make a play doesn't get made.
They have one playmaker on the defense. If he doesn't make the play, it doesn't get made. They have a defense right now that's minus Chris Jones, but obviously he's a playmaker. But, man, that you got to take that kind of stuff personally. You want to talk about chip on your shoulder and rising in these kind of games. You should take that personally that someone said that about you.
If Frank Clark should be pissed off, he should be pissed off at himself, not at Shannon Sharp. Why? For being honest? For saying that Frank Clark's not a playmaker? Is he? Past tense, he certainly was. In the future, I certainly think he will be. Right now, Carrington, you're telling me that Frank Clark's a playmaker? All Shannon Sharp said was the truth.
No, I'm not faulting at all what he said. I'm saying is you should believe that you're the playmaker. We've heard from multiple people that sacks come in bunches. Man, this is a good time to start the bunches. I don't think that Frank Clark's ending the season with 2.5 sacks or 3.5 sacks. At some point, even if he gets to 7.5, 8, and 9, at some point you got to start amassing sacks to do it. If you can't get to the quarterback against the Houston Texans, man, when can you get to the quarterback?
Are you saying paymaker or are you saying playmaker? Because these headphones don't always work great. Because he's definitely a paymaker, right? He's making the money. He's getting paid. When it comes to making plays, dude has 6 tackles through 5 games. He's gotten to the quarterback one time. So I agree with Shannon Sharp, and I agree with you too. I'm holding out hope that at some point he becomes the playmaker the Chiefs paid for, but right now he's far from a playmaker.
I agree. I'm talking about in this individual game. There's no denying the part. I'm saying going into this game, if you still think that he's going to get 8.5 sacks, which I assume you think he's going to do, he's not having 4 sacks this season. This is the game to get him. This is the game to get 2.5 sacks.
What makes you think it starts this game, though? Like, without Chris Jones on the field, it just becomes much more difficult than it has been all year.
Because Deshaun Watson has been sacked 80 times over the last 22 NFL games. He's been hit. I looked it up last season. He got hit 86 times last year. He got hurried 121 times last year. It's not like you're going up against the Colts offensive line, which is arguably the best in the NFL. You're maybe going up against one of the 5 worst offensive lines in the NFL. I'm not saying he has to have some kind of Derek Thomas day, but if we are talking about not noticing Frank Clark and him not having an impact on the game against the Houston Texans, there is a very serious problem.
What do you actually expect, though? Because I hear what you're saying. We're talking about expectations going forward and what do you actually expect? I'm curious. On Sunday,
I think Frank Clark gets a sack in the game.
Do you think he has a major impact? Do you think it's just a sack and then we're not talking about him again? Because I want to see Frank Clark be consistent for an entire game making plays. Would I be excited? Absolutely, if he has a sack. But just because Frank Clark goes out there and has 1 sack, I'm not going to say, okay, now Frank Clark's getting ready to get going. I need to see him be consistent and pop off the field for an entire game, and a sack would be great.
Yeah, I agree. But you can't be consistent without starting the consistency. This would be the game to start the consistency. You started in this game, favorable matchup here against you. This is when you started. Again, I'm on your side about what happened so far. I can't deny the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. I'm talking about moving forward in a favorable matchup here. We agree this is a favorable matchup. Find a way to make it favorable in your odds.
All right. I just feel like I've seen enough from a couple of guys this year to say maybe they're not all they were cracked up to be. Damian Williams. I'm running. I'm over that experiment. Last year when he was given the opportunity, he was great. This year, given the same opportunity, hasn't done anything with it. Frank Clark was great in Seattle. I'm not even saying Frank Clark wasn't worth the money or he isn't going to get it going. But I have no reason to think, based on me being a Chiefs fan and watching him through the first 5 games, that all of a sudden this week he's going to get it going. I hope I'm wrong. I sure as hell don't expect it.
I mean, I'm just saying with Frank Clark, you came in so high on Frank Clark.
Optimistic is what I was.
You had him as an all-pro. That's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. I'm not saying you got to be Khalil Mack in this context. I'm saying is get back to being Seattle Frank Clark.
I never said he was an all-pro. All I said is I've never watched a full game of Seattle. This is before he was a Chief that I paid attention to Frank Clark. I paid attention to Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and Bobby Wagner and all these different dudes. I never watched a Seattle game. The reason that I was optimistic and excited about Frank Clark is because the Chiefs told me I should be. They gave him $20 million. They let Dee Ford walk. They traded away their draft picks. They went all in with Frank Clark, so I had no reason not to, at least at the time, believe in Brett Veach. Now that I've seen him play, my opinion's changed.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll play Pick a Player. We need 4 callers, 913-576-7610. If you want to play Pick a Player, we'll call in right now. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.